Let me just explain this right off the bat. And Brother Shapiro's here, and you know, the preacher's here, pastors anyway. They don't pay us for overtime. We don't preach on long on purpose, because we don't get paid any more for long sermons than we do for short ones. Amen. We don't. Matter of fact, John Bishop, I don't know if y'all have heard of John Bishop. He had spinal meningitis, and he had to relearn everything. I mean, he had to learn what a wife was. His wife had to explain to him what she was to him, and he still calls her my Donna, because she explained that, you know, men and women get together and they belong to each other. And he said, "Then you my Donna." She says, "Yes." And so he's called her my Donna ever since. But he said, and you have to understand, when he first began to speak, he left out a lot of conjunctions and prepositions, and so this is just the way he talked. He said, "First, learn pastor church. Tell church need resign, not be able to pastor." He said, "Church won't let me resign." He said, "So listen to tape, me preach before, learn how to preach again." He said, "Tired, hurt, my head hurt." He said, "So when I first start preach," he said, "sit on a stool, preach 10 minutes. He said, "That's all I could preach." He said, "Church grew." He said, "Lord, teach me, preach short, church grow." Amen. Amen. But you ain't even going to get it from me. Amen. I'm going to try. Amen. I was just, I might just tell you a bunch of Earl Hughes stories. Amen. I'll tell you what. I mean, he is sorry as he can be. We were at Harry Nix was a pastor down in Royston, Georgia. And have you ever heard What the Preacher Said, the song What the Preacher Said? Harry's the one who was preaching on there, giving his testimony. But Harry pastored in Royston, Georgia, went to that camp meeting, and Brother Earl was there. And Brother Earl came to me, he said, "Brother Buddy, last time I saw you, you highly disappointed me." And I said, "What?" Because Brother Earl, he's like my daddy. And I said, "What did I do?" "Now, you didn't do it on purpose. You didn't do it knowingly." He said, "But you highly offended me." I said, "What did I do?" He said, "Well, last time I saw you, you was at Sammy Allen's camp meeting. I saw you and your family up there singing. And," he said, "the Lord told me to give you $50. He said, "So I went home that night and opened the closet where I keep all my money. And and got out $50 to give you the next day." He said, "The next day I went to that camp," he said, "I looked all over that camp, and you weren't there. Somebody said, you up and left. You was gone." He said, "I just cried." And I started crying about that. I said, "Brother Earl, you had my address. You could have sent it to me." He said, "Well, brother, after a while, I lost my liberty to give it to you." And he told that sorry story all over the camp. I mean, you'd see him in a corner, and they'd be laughing, looking at me. I knew what they was talking about. Amen. He just thought that was the funniest thing in the world. And every time we get to that part, I just cried. I just start crying. I said, "Yeah, I'm crying now." And so at the end of that meeting, he comes up to me. He says, "Brother Buddy, I just want you to know, just seeing you and your family up there again singing and stuff to us kind of warmed that relationship again. And I just want you to know that God gave me the liberty to give that $50 now." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." He said, "Only now, don't have it." So about 2 weeks later, I got an envelope in the mail. No letter, no anything, just an envelope in the mail with a $50 bill in it. Amen. So cha-ching, amen, finally got that. Sorry, devil. He tried to steal my suit. I have the unfortunate privilege of having the same suit size as he does. And listen, I hope he's not watching. I know he's not. Amen. He acts like he's poor and everything because he drives that Geo Metro. He drives Cadillacs at home. He's got like four or five of them that people give him. Amen. No, they're old. They're not new, but he drives Cadillacs at home. But he acts like he's the poorest thing in the world. And bless his heart, his suit was just tearing apart. I know he could have done better. He gets big offerings. Amen. They all feel sorry for him because he's old and can't, you know. But he wears old suits. And so one day I had a brand new suit, and he said, "Oh, that's a fine-looking suit." I knew what was coming. I knew right then I'd lost my suit. Amen. That's a fine looking suit. Amen. And he got my suit. Amen. Brother Earl, we named John after him. My youngest son, John, it's John Earl Blunkall, and then we named him after Brother Hughes. And John couldn't stand it. I mean, when he was just a baby, I got John a pair of cowboy boots. I mean, a three-year-old with cowboy boots, I mean, you can't stop them. I mean, you got cowboy boots, man. And Earl took them off and wouldn't give them back. And I know he couldn't wear them, but and then John would cry, and he said, "You can do better than that." And he started twisting his ear, making him cry more, amen. But that's just Brother Earl, amen. He's at a camp meeting in Missouri, and they were taking an offering. And Brother Earl stood up and said, "Harry Nix will give $100. Harry wasn't even at the camp meeting, amen. And so after the meeting, Gene McFadden called, or Gene Pereira called and said, "Harry, Earl said you was going to give $100 in camp." He said, "I guess I am, if that's what he said." Amen. Sorry, guys. Brother Earl, he helped me. He's been traveling a lot longer than me, a lot longer. So he helped me on this sleeping while you drive thing, because when you drive a long time, you're bound to go to sleep. He said, "As long as you stay in the road in your lane, you'll be all right." Amen. Now, they told me he had a stroke while he was driving, and I expect he probably drove 100 miles with a stroke. You know, just had to get to Paducah, you know. Amen. I was telling somebody last night, I guess, Brother Glass was here last year, wasn't he? I was at a camp meeting in Missouri, same meeting where Harry Nix gave $100 he found out about later. I don't know what happened, but there's a bunch of people shouting and hollering, running around, just praising the Lord and stuff. And the moderator kept trying to get my attention. And he goes, "Wanted me to come up and sing." I said, and he looked at me like, I knew God didn't want me up there singing, man. Something else was going on. And Brother Glass, he's always been old. He was old 20 years ago. He was trying to climb a tent pole. I mean, everybody's shouting and hollering, and he was trying to, and he'd get about, you know, that far off the ground and slide down, and he's trying to climb that tent pole. and he's testifying. We couldn't climb the tent pole, so he's testifying. He testifies himself up to the pulpit area and just praising the Lord and bragging on Jesus, you know. And Brother Pereira went over, and while Earl was, Brother Glass is moving around. He's trying to put the mic on and trying to put the thing on him and set him up, and he just started testifying, preaching, and the moderator sat down, looked at me, goes, I said, "Yeah, there you go, amen. I ain't supposed to preach. Brother Glass is supposed to preach, amen." Amen. But I just appreciate the old man that God has let me cross paths with through the years. And Brother Lackey, I still preach at his church, and Brother Lackey's been gone a long time. They still talk about Preacher Lackey. And I have a picture at home, 1942, two little girls with little white can-can type looking dresses stepping down off a church bus. In 1942, he's running buses, picking up kids. And it's at White Plains Baptist Church. It was a wooden bus. It was wood, made out of wood. Amen. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it had a motor in it, but the chassis, y'all seen Woody wagons. I mean, you old-timers anyway. It was a Woody wagon. Amen. I'm thinking, I would never get in that thing. Brother Lackey, when Brother Lackey got saved, he owned two pool halls. I mean, everybody in town knew him. Everybody in the county knew him. And when he got saved, I mean, he's well-to-do, had some money and everything, but everybody knew his background, so he couldn't get a place to preach. So he just figured he'd become an evangelist and bought him a tent. He bought him a tent. He went to the first town where God told him, but nobody had cars, so nobody could come to any general area, so he bought him a bus. This is in the mid-30s, late-30s. He bought him a bus. He would visit all day long, invite people to church, then he'd get in his bus and pick them all up, bring them up to the tent, preach to them, and take them all home. Amen. "I just can't find a place to preach. You know, if I have me..." Shut up. Amen. There's all kinds of, amen, use your head. Use your head. Make there's ways. There's ways. Amen. But appreciate those old men, Brother Jack Wood. And I don't know if he was he ever, does anybody remember if he's ever here before? Before Brother Shapiro, was Brother Wood ever, did he ever come here? Nobody knows. But Brother Wood was a cowboy. Matter of fact, if you sign a kid's Bible, he'd draw a picture of a cowboy hat and boots, amen. Jack Wood, amen. I forgot his wife's verse. But Cowboy Jack Wood. And just a, I know we'll forget, they took an offering. Well, first he said, we're going to have a business meeting tonight. We're going to buy a church. That's just the way they did it down in Texas, amen. He said, who wants to be first? We need money. And off it went. I mean, I'll give this. Some guy was selling his welding equipment. Some guy had some asphalt equipment. I'll sell it. I think it'll bring 10 grand, or I'll give it to your church, you know. And he's just writing stuff down. He said, oh, well, that's 55,000. Who'll be next? We don't have near enough. We only got 55,000. Who'll be next? And they just kept on. Some of them throwing money. Some of them taking the money. Some of them giving him checks. And the guy in the sound booth had a roll and just threw the roll up the pulpit. So Brother Jack starts counting. It was $100 bills. He just kept counting them. I think it's about 50. Is that 5,000? $1,500 bills. Yeah, that's about it. He counted out $1,500 bills. He says, oh boy, I knew that happened. So, because I told the Lord I'd give whatever he gives. So he reached in his pocket, pulled out a roll, counted 50 of them. Matter of fact, he said whenever he got down to his last $40, he said it happened a few times. When he got down to his last $40, he'd take him a corn cob and wrap $21 bills around that corn cob and put a 20 on the outside and put a rubber band about it, around it, and stick it in his pocket. He said it just gave me a warm feeling. Felt like a big roll, amen. It really was. There was a rash of church robberies in Houston. And what would happen, guys would come into church, one would come in one door and the other and sit down on opposite sides of the church. So when the ushers came to take the offering, these guys would stand up, pull out their guns and said, all right, we want everything, rings, watches, jewelry, we want it all. Matter of fact, they said some of the best offerings they ever got was during this time, amen. An usher came to Brother Jack one night or one morning and said, preacher, there are two guys, they drove up in the same car. One of them's over here, one of them's over here. Brother Jack said, I'll take care of it. He's up to giving announcements. He said, oh, by the way, let me ask you a question. He said, how many of you ladies are packing tonight? Why don't you stand up? All you ladies that are packing, stand up. About 100 ladies stood up, had guns in their purses. One guy went out one door, one guy went out the other, and they were gone. Amen. Amen. I would have been gone too. If I was a deacon, I'd be gone. Amen. With women packing in the church. Amen. 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 I just want to talk just a few minutes about revival. No, I don't. I'm going to preach for Katie. You ready? I'm going to preach a message for Katie. I've preached this message here before, but I'm going to really condense it. All right? Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And I'll have to find it. Or it could be 1 Kings. Now, if you're visiting here, I'm not always like this. Sometimes I'm worse. My wife said I should preach this. So I guess I'll just preach this. Okay, it's 1 Kings, chapter 22. And again, I've already preached this here. That's fine. But this is for Katie. And for anybody else who's interested, and I'm going to take this coat off because I am hot. First Kings chapter 22, there's an alliance of two unlikely people. Verse 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said to Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Now, so far, we haven't heard who the king of Israel is. But Jehoshaphat is from the southern kingdom, and every once in a while the southern kingdom would have a good king, a godly king, a king who the Bible says did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And this was one of those cases. Jehoshaphat was a good king. And he went down to Israel. You got to pay attention when you read your Bible. When anybody goes down, it's usually a bad deal. Amen. He went down to Israel. And it talks about that king of Israel said, Will you join me to fight against this king over here? And he says, I be as you are, my people as your people. Now this king of Israel we're talking about is Ahab. You ever hear of him? Ahab. You know who his wife is? Jezebel. Amen. So here is a good king, and here's Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, asking him to go with him to a battle, and Jehoshaphat said, Yeah, I'm just like you are. My people are just like your people. Their people were worshiping golden calves. And he said, My people are just like your people. I don't think so. There is a difference. Amen. Now listen, Christians, we're not better than everybody else, but we are different.
Amen.
We are different. I mean, I know lost people sometimes that are more moral than Christians are, but there is a difference. There's a different spirit. We're different. And here's these two men, and Jehoshaphat says, We're just like you are. I'm just like you are. Our people's just like you. My horses, your horses, amen, everything. But then he said in verse 5, And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire thee, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So here the good king is asking this wicked king, says, Now before we go to battle, why don't you inquire of the Lord? Now that's a... How in the world do you do that? I mean, here's this lost man who's going to inquire of the Lord. So, but listen, he's got him some preachers. Lost people got preachers. That's what TV is all about, amen? So lost people can have preachers, amen? I mean, listen, if you think some of those yo-yos on TV are spiritual or know God, I mean, listen, I've seen guys on there that wouldn't know God if they run into them in an alley somewhere. They wouldn't know, amen? And but lost people have preachers, and this wicked King Ahab had a bunch of them. The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400. He had 400 preachers. 400 men, and said to them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. I mean, here's 400. Listen, they must not have been Baptists, that's for sure, because you show me two Baptists, I'll show you three opinions. Amen. And with one assent, all 400 of them said, Go up, for the Lord shall prosper it. And it sounds like a done deal to me, amen, if all 400 of them say, Yeah, it's God's will. I mean, you and Jehoshaphat go up there, and the Lord's going to prosper it, amen, you're going to win the battle. But after 400 preachers get finished preaching, verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? He just heard 400. Can you imagine listening to 400 preachers all saying the same thing, and this guy says, Don't you have anybody else that we can hear from? I mean, you think after 400, maybe you got the message? He said, We ain't got the message yet. You have any more preachers around here? Look at this. This is so funny. Amen. He said, Yeah. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, which, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. You know what? I just get fed up to hear about people talking about us kind of preaching. Well, you people are too negative.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? They hate us.
Yep.
I was talking about the emerging church last night. The emerging church, the contemporary church, whatever you want to call it, the Rick Warren deal. They don't stand on the Bible. They don't stand on any kind of standards. As a matter of fact, Rick Warren apologized to his gay friends for promoting Proposition 8. First of United, he did it, and of course they got tapes of him promoting it. He did, amen. That's the crowd I'm talking about. You know the only stand they take? It's against us. That's the only stand they take. That's the only. You know, they say, "Oh, you people are so judgmental." You know who they judge? They don't judge. They don't judge the sodomites. They don't judge. Amen. You know who they judge? It's us. Amen. So that's why I judge them. Amen. Judge not that you be not judged. For the same judgment you meet, you, amen, I'm willing to be judged by the same judgment they are. Amen. So if they're going to judge me, I'll judge them by the same judgment. I'm telling you right now, here's these people that are saying, go up, the Lord shall prosper. I mean, a wicked king and a good king, can two walk together except they be agreed? Come on now. Are you supposed to be yoked together with unbelievers? No, you're not supposed to be. And here they are, they're in a mess. This godly man shouldn't even have gone down. Amen. Anyway, he shouldn't have gone down. But here he is down, and here we go. Don't you? I hate him. He doesn't prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I know this one guy from Texas. So I know it wasn't Joel Osteen. He don't hate the devil. He loves everybody. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I wish I could smile like him all the time. Amen. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. He can't be all that bad. I mean, he can't preach bad, all negative all the time. I mean, listen, give him a chance. Verse 9, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the king, son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now here, this is what's going on. We got some servants going to get Micaiah. And while they're going to get Micaiah, we got a choreography going on for the two kings. I mean, let's read now. Now, you got to get, all right, someone's getting my care, the other preacher, but in the meantime, we can't have dead space in the church, amen. We can't have dead space in the service. So here we go. It says, they're in the board place, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Woo! 400 of them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push out the inhabitants until thou have consumed them. I mean, listen, they got sets, they got props, they got everything. He said, this is the way it's going to... Oh, man, it's good. It's good. Amen. Probably his wife got a big old poof job, you know, got enough makeup. I heard when they took all the makeup off Tammy Faye Baker, and it was Jimmy Hoffa. That's what I heard. Amen. They finally found Jimmy Hoffa. Amen. But anyway, I shouldn't have said that. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. Oh, this is good. I mean, it was a meeting. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, hold now. Now, in Tennessee, look here. The words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. He said, now, here's the theme of the meeting. Go up, for the Lord shall prosper you. He said, if you know what's good for you, that's going to be the theme of your message. Go up, for the Lord shall prosper you. And Micaiah said, whatever the Lord tells me. Amen. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle? or shall we forbear? I mean, can you imagine what he's waiting for? Shall we go up or shall we forbear? And I'm sure he's looking at Josh and saying, listen to this. I'm telling you, he's going to say it. And my case, I mean, the suspense. I mean, you can hear a pin drop. Shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead or shall we forbear? And my case standing there. And he says, are you reading it? Go up, for the Lord shall prosper. Something good is going to happen to you. Speak positive things. Have a good self-image. Amen. Everybody's good. Amen. You just got to expand that little flame and everybody's good. Got goodness inside them. He said, go up for the Lord shall prosper you. Just like the rest of them. This 16. And the king, we're talking about Ahab now. The king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? This is Ahab, the wicked king. He hears a message he wants to hear. And he says, that's a lie. You've never lied to me before. How many times have I told you when I ask you to preach to me, tell me the truth? I hate you when you do it, but I want to hear the truth. You know, most lost people, they do want to hear the truth.
Amen. Yep.
They don't want to hear it. I mean, they don't want to do anything about it, but they want to hear the truth. They won't do anything about it, but they want to hear it. Micaiah said, king, I saw all Israel. Let me read the verse, make sure. Verse 17, he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man to his house in peace. He said, king, after today, Israel's not going to have a shepherd. King Ahab was their shepherd. He said, Ahab, you're going to die today. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I tell thee he was puffing out no good concerning me but evil? He said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. This is Micaiah. This is awesome. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he'll go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner and another on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said to him, wherewith? How are you going to persuade him? And he said, I'll go forth and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord had put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. And the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. But you remember the guy with the horns? Zedekiah. Zedekiah, the son of Kenan, I went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek. And said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak into thee? And Micaiah said, If it was Jack Wood, it'd be something else going on right here. Amen. But amen. There with these kings, got to be right. Amen. Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see it in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. He said, you're not going to be doing too good today either, pal. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, Joash the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow into prison. Feed him with the bread of affliction, water of affliction, till I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if I return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. He said, hey people, if he comes back in peace to take care of my situation, you know God didn't speak by me. He said, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. That was just an introduction. I hate it when preachers say that. I'm just building a foundation here. Man, I didn't know foundations were so tall. Amen. But I can guarantee you the message is only about 5 minutes. Amen. Hang in there. Verse 29. So the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up from Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. Do you think that might make you feel strange when the bad king says, when we get in this battle, I'm going to disguise myself, but you go ahead and wear your robes? Would you maybe just have a question about that? Let me just say, moms, dads, young people, you get to hanging around lost people, and you can just get plain stupid. You ought to be friends with them. You all try to win to the Lord. But you start hanging with them and listening to them, listen to their philosophy, their way of life, the way they... Listen, you just get old, plain old stupid. Ahab says, hey, I'm going to disguise myself when we go in this battle. You wear your robes. Well, what he didn't know was this army that was coming, it was not to defeat Israel. It was to kill Ahab, the king. And guess what? Somebody in that battle was going to look like a king. But it wasn't Ahab. It was Jehoshaphat. Dumb. Well, verse 31. But the king of Syria commanded his 30 and two captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. We just want to get one guy. King of Israel, kill him, we're done. And it came to pass when his captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely this is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Is that me? Gotta be me. Did I throw it away? What do I do with it? You don't settle down? All right. They gathered around Jehoshaphat. They said, surely this is the king. Let's kill him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. I always wonder why he cried out. Probably, I repent of hanging with this lost bunch of people. Amen. I repent of going down. I repent of hanging with this wicked king. He should have repented sooner. He should have repented sooner. Rocky, you know who his son, Jehoshaphat's son, you know who he ended up marrying? Jezebel's daughter. Apparently this wasn't the first time they hung with each other, these two kings. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather reprove them. Listen, at work, you don't have to get along with those people. If it's a compromising situation, you don't have to go to their parties and drink their liquor. You don't have to. Well, I can't go up the ladder. Then don't go up the ladder. You don't have to do that. Well, they're having a family reunion and they do all this stuff. You don't have to do those things. And if they put pressure on you to do it, you don't have to go to a family reunion. This is your family. This is your family. If they're heathen, if they're going to, listen, if they're going to convince your children that there's no God, if they're going to convince your children there's art to drink and all, you don't have to hang with those people. I mean, here, this man cried out. I mean, they tried to get, he cried out. He tried to repent, tried to say, I'm sorry, Lord. And when he cried out, that verse 37, it came to pass when the captain of the chariots perceived it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. So basically they called a ceasefire. I mean, there's only one guy dressed like a king and he's gone. I mean, and he's not the king. So here's the message, Katie. Next verse. A certain man drew a bow at a venture. Now what does it mean at a venture? I mean, there wasn't a venture somewhere out there and he's shooting at it. A venture, it just means he just didn't aim. He said, we've traveled all this way and I hadn't shot one person. Amen. I mean, what am I going to tell my kids when I get home? How many did you kill, Daddy? I didn't even draw a bow. He says, I'm going to shoot somebody. When you remember when David counted the warriors of Israel? He wasn't supposed to, but he did. When they finally stopped counting, and they didn't count Benjamin because Joab didn't want to count his own tribe because he knew it was wrong. But all the tribes but Benjamin, there were 1.1 million warriors during David's time. I don't know if they had quite this many during this time, but I expect they had over 500,000 warriors. And if I had a bow and arrow, and there's 500,000 of them over there, I expect okay, just fling it out there, amen? And shoot. That's what the guy did. He drew a bow at a venture. Wasn't aiming at anybody. He just shoot in there amongst them. Surely you're going to hit one of them. And smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. What a shot! You remember the one that they were after? It was a mass assassination attempt, really is what it was. And he was disguised. They couldn't find him. They went after Jehoshaphat. And when he cried out, they said, oh, this is not him. And so they yelled a retreat. And one guy says, I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to shoot an arrow. So he shoots an arrow just in amongst the 500,000. How many ever were there? And the one guy they're after, and by the way, the one guy God was after, God already told him, you're going to, you know, and then you've had it. I've had it with you. The one guy they were after, it hit him. Out of 500,000 people, it hit him. He had armor on. You know where it hit him? When they would put their chest protection on, it was like a vest. They put it on and draw it up front, and they had leather thongs, and they would sew it like this to bring it together right here. It hit him between the joints of the harness. What a shot. The only place it could have hit and killed him was hit. And he wouldn't name him. Wouldn't name him. So here's the message. What are the chances? What are the chances the only person that they were after, the only place it could have hit him, a guy's not even aiming, he's just flinging it out there and hits the one guy and the only one place it can... take it to Vegas and ask him, what are the chances? Slim to none. All right. What are the chances for you to end up where God wants you to end up and you're not even aiming? The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. Purpose means to aim. To aim, to have a goal. The president of our college asked some hard questions. I don't even like being in his office because he asked me them too. Amen. But one of the main questions he asked, and I'll ask you, Katie, what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? I hate that. What do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? Now, is anybody else thinking? What do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? You ask most teenagers, what do you want to do when you got out of school? Mm-hmm. That's not good. Because you know what? 5 years from now, they're going to be doing something. If they live long enough, they're going to be doing something. It don't make any difference if it's or not. You're going to be doing something. The problem is, okay, whether you're aiming or not, whether you already have in your mind what you want to be doing 5 years from now, if you've thought about it, or if you haven't thought about it, if you're not aiming, you're pointed in a certain direction right now. I have lots of guns. I'm glad I'm not in California. In Arkansas, you can have a gun rack, brother. Amen. You just put them in the back of the window. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've got guns. I'm not going to tell you where all the guns I've got, where they are. Got some in my dresser. Got some in my safe. Amen. I've just got, praise the Lord. I mean, possums come up, cats come up, dogs come up, people come up, whatever. Amen. If they need it, they get it. Amen. Had a dog die of lead poisoning just about a month ago. Amen. But he deserved it. He asked for it. But I have guns. But mainly it's for deer and stuff. Amen. Stuff. Deer. And I miss them. It's been a month since I've seen my guns, except for this one. But it's been a month since I've seen the rest of them. And so most of them. And let me say this. My guns are very obedient. They won't shoot anybody unless I tell them to. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. My guns have been very obedient to sitting there, inanimate objects. Just like an axe or a knife or anything else you want to kill somebody with. Amen. They're not going to outlaw axes and knives and anything else. Amen. Unless you're in Massachusetts. Amen. You can't even use pepper spray in Massachusetts. If somebody listen, come on, Stan. If somebody tries to take your life, your wife's life, you can't even use pepper spray on them in Massachusetts. Ted Kennedy can kill them in a pond. Well, let me go there. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I got all these guns, and I don't even have my hands on them. I'm not doing anything with them right now. But Rocky, all of my guns are pointed somewhere. They can't help it. They got a barrel. They're pointed somewhere. Everybody in this auditorium tonight are pointed somewhere. You can't help it. 5 years from now, you're going to end up somewhere. You can't help it. That's just life. We used to do, in Baltimore, Maryland. I tried to move to Maryland for a year, stay there for a year. We'd go downtown Baltimore, feed homeless people, and preach to them, hand out tracts. This lady would come up. I forgot her name now. When she first started coming up, I thought she was in her 40s. I found out she's in her mid-20s. Track marks, black eye. I mean, she had a black eye every time I saw her, black eye. Usually her pimp did it. And it's hard for me to imagine that one day, Jesus, like this little Madison, this little sweet girl. Amen. Just when that girl was 8 years old, you can't tell me that. What do you see yourself doing 15 years from now? You can't tell me. She said, "You know what? I see myself taking drugs and having a pimp beat me up all the time and having to sell my body to buy my drugs. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I got planned." You can't tell me that girl had that. But that's for you. What am I saying? I'm saying you better start directing your paths. You better start saying to yourself, to the Lord, "Lord, where do you want me 4 years from now? Where do you want me 4 or 5 years from now?" And then you need to start plotting a course. How to get there to that 5-year mark. Whatever you have dreamed for the Lord that you want to do, then you start aiming at it. And let me tell you something. And if you don't like guns here, I've already got you turned off anyway. You're not going to listen to anything else I say. But I try to help young people learn how to shoot. And gun control is holding the weapon firmly with two hands. That's gun control. Amen. Right. I put rifles, especially with girls. Whatever. But especially with girls. You put the rifle in their hand. You say, "Now listen, you line up the front sight with the back sight. And you get those lined up with the target. And you just set the target right on top of the sight. When you get it there, you shoot. Okay, all right, now aim at it. Okay, you're aiming at it. You've got the front sight and the back sight lined up, and the target's just sitting right on top of the sight. Uh-huh. And I'm standing back here. They're supposed to be pointing at the clock, and it's pointing over here. I said, the front sight and the back sight are both lined up. I mean, they're perfectly lined up. Uh-huh. And you got the target right on top of it. Uh-huh. And I said, you're aiming over there. No, I'm not. I said, all right. I'm going to hold the rifle. Let go. Let go. I'm going to hold the rifle exactly where you got it. All right. Now step back. And now, you moved it. I said, no, that's what you were aiming. What am I saying? Sometimes we sincerely think that we're going to end up here. Katie, and you've been doing a good job of it so far. But people that are teaching you, training you, they can see. They're back here, and they can see sometimes when you're not aiming where you think you're aiming. And they'll say, Katie, we need to go this way. Oh, but I'm... They can see it. They can see it. You can't see it. Now, you're sincere. Are y'all with me? You're sincere. I mean, you think you're really doing it right? But when an authority, a pastor, or mom or dad, or teacher, or somebody says, hey, you know what? You're heading in the wrong direction. Don't get blowed up and say, well, I know what I'm...
No, you don't know what you're doing.
Can I say that and you take it okay? No, you don't know what you're doing. I'm trying to teach you. You never held a rifle before, and you think you're Mr. Expert, Miss Expert. Let me hold the gun. You look. Look for yourself. I ain't moving it. Listen. You adults, I know you got a pastor here. Just read Proverbs and do what it says. Listen, wisdom comes from Proverbs. Wisdom from the Word of God. Read the book of Proverbs and just practice the book of Proverbs. Read the Bible. Not just Caden, but for all of us. Father, I'm not just... You're new here, right? Fairly new? Fears, amen. What do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? Don't answer that. Have you thought about it since I mentioned it? Or have you thought of it before? What do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? How about you, brother? Are we about the same age? We look the same age, amen. I'm in my second career, have been the last 4 years. I'd have never dreamed. Amen, but I was just doing what I knew I was supposed to be doing and ended up doing. Have you ever thought about what you're going to be doing 5 years from now? Well, it'd be bad for somebody my age to say, That's this stuff up here. How old are you? 19. You know? Have you thought about it? What do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? I'm just gonna. That's what most people do. If it feels good, do it. I'm just. The odds are you're not gonna get the mark. You better start aiming, and you better start getting some advice on people who hit the mark and how to hit the mark. And listen to the Lord, listen to the Bible, listen to mom and dad, listen to the pastor, listen to teachers, listen to them. Let me tell you something, you young ladies here in the front row. Let me tell you something. Your mom, she might not have graduated from high school. She's going to always have something on you that you're never going to catch up with her on. Experience. You better listen to her. Oh, she's dumb. About 10 years from now, you're going to find out how dumb you are right now. I can't believe I said that. Well, don't do it! Let's be mom and dad. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, just like that lady in Baltimore never planned on being like she was.